The last time we saw John the Baptist, he was at the Jordan River. He was baptizing the crowds that came out to him. He called out the religious elites for their hypocrisy, and he proclaimed the arrival of God's kingdom in the one who would baptize in fire and the Holy Spirit. His reward for his faithful truth-telling, for his ministry and service, jail. Go directly to jail. John had the temerity to tell the Galilean tetrarch, the Galilean ruler Herod Antipas, that his marriage to his sister-in-law, besides being gross, was unlawful. Herod's response, he did what all thin-skinned, egomaniacal rulers have done throughout human history. He got revenge. So John is rotting in prison at the beginning of our reading. He knows his end is near. He also knows what Jesus has been doing. Since chapter 3, Jesus has been quite busy. He's been on an extensive tour of Galilee, preaching and healing. Preached the Sermon on the Mount. He stilled a storm. He called Matthew and sent the disciples on their first mission. He healed a lot of people, a lot of people. Crowds of the sick and the demon-possessed are brought to him. Of special note are a man with a skin disease, a centurion's servant, two demon-possessed men, a paralyzed man lowered through a hole in his roof, a dead girl, a bleeding woman, two blind men, and a man who can't talk. Yet for all that, John is still in prison. These people have been liberated from their own prisons of unhealth. John has not been liberated from literal prison. The messianic age has not arrived. So John sends two disciples to find out if Jesus is for real. Are you the one, God's chosen one, or not? It's easy to understand why John may be doubting Jesus. When we suffer, particularly when we suffer severely, questions start to pop up. Is our God a God of love, grace, and mercy, or not? The more we suffer, the easier it can be not only to doubt, but to be cynical. C.S. Lewis expresses this temptation to cynicism in A Grief Observed, a memoir written after the death of his wife, Joy Davidman. Quoting, "Not that I am, I think, in much danger of ceasing to believe in God. The real danger is of coming to believe such dreadful things about him. The conclusion I dread is not, so there's no God after all, but so this is what God is really like. Deceive yourself no longer." Surely John wants what any human being in his situation would want: immediate liberation and vindication, a freedom from despair and perhaps encroaching cynicism. But Jesus gives a rather odd answer to John's question. He quotes from our first reading from Isaiah, which reads, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer." And then to this he adds, "Those with a skin disease are cleansed, and the dead are raised." But it's the end of this sentence that really goes off the rails. "And the poor have good news proclaimed to them." You would expect, so the blind can't see, so the blind now see. They're made whole, right? The deaf can't hear, the deaf hear. Those with a skin disease are cleansed, they're made whole. And the poor are given a sermon. You would expect they would at least have some parity with those who have more. There's a great tradition of such prophetic critique in the Old Testament, but that's not what Jesus says. And this gets to the audacity of the Word of God. Lutherans speak of three ways we encounter the living Word of God. The first, of course, is the primary sense, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. The second is the repository of the Holy Scriptures, which point to God in Christ and his saving work through the Holy Spirit. And the third is the preached Word of God, the proclaimed Word of God. When the Word of God is proclaimed, whether it is from a pulpit, at the hospital bed, or at the soccer field, or hockey arena now, something is going to happen. Something is going to happen when Jesus Christ, his name, his work, is spoken. The Word of God, by being spoken, has the power to create faith, to transform lives, and to bring the kingdom of heaven among us, within us. The Word of God has the power to transform someone, anyone, even if they are rotting in prison on death row. That's exactly what Jesus tells John's disciples to do. He tells them to bring the spoken word to John, the proclaimed word to John in prison. The great preacher needs to be preached to. The one who pointed to the light needs light himself. The incarnate Christ will be there with John. John won't be delivered from an unjust and cruel death in this realm of sin and suffering, just as Jesus will not. But he will be saved through that death for the kingdom of heaven, where even the lowliest resident is greater than John is in this one. The kingdom of heaven is not a pie-in-the-sky fantasy. It breaks into our age, turns our understanding of reality inside out. The kingdom breaks in whenever Jesus Christ and his saving work is proclaimed. This reality breaks in whenever Jesus Christ and his saving work is received in the sacraments. When that happens, reality as we know it shatters. When we're here in church, we're in God's time, in God's kingdom, even if just for a little while. And the Word of God, the incarnate Jesus Christ, brings salvation into every possible situation we may find ourselves in, even the most hopeless ones, like John in prison. There are many ways we find ourselves in prison. There's the literal sense, of course, but there are other prisons too. Prisons of unhealth and addiction, prisons of fear and rage, prisons of hatred, contempt, and unforgiveness, prisons of broken relationships. In all those prisons, in all those chaotic places, the Word of God brings forth the new creation, just as it did at the beginning of time. God spoke the Word, and the world came into being. God's new creation is born from the death of the old. And even if we don't receive the liberation we'd hoped for, like John, it ultimately doesn't matter. Because our liberation is for a higher plane than the one of this world. Jesus Christ welcomes us all into his kingdom with open arms. Same arms that opened to the whole world from the cross. So how will we live trusting that, knowing that when Jesus is proclaimed, transformation happens? We trust Jesus. Full stop. We trust Jesus. Whatever happens, we trust Jesus. When we are sick, we trust Jesus. When we are in despair, we trust Jesus. When we are broken, we trust Jesus. Jesus is faithful beyond our understanding. After all, it was he, the Lord, who led the people of Israel to the promised land out of the house of slavery. It was he, the Lord, who led them home from the prison of exile. It was he, the Lord, who suffered death for our sake, who gave new life and light to a hopelessly fallen and broken world. It is he, the Lord, who brings us salvation. And he will bring us all into his kingdom. This has already happened through our death to this world in baptism. And when we die to this world, we are born to the new, where God dwells with his people forever as our Emmanuel. Thanks be to God. Amen.